You're listening to Music You're Missing. My name is Brendan Ginetti, and today we are joined in studio with Boyish. I'm so excited to have Boyish in studio because they are killing it right now. Tonight wraps up their sold-out tour with the Beaches at Royale here in Boston, and Boyish is no stranger to Boston. They actually met at Berklee College of Music. As a Berklee alum myself, I'm so stoked to talk to them about their time at Berklee, as well as their tour with the Beaches. But beyond that, I'll be chatting with Boyish about their new single, Kill Your Pain, with the insanely talented King Princess. So before we get Boyish in studio, you've listened to podcasts before, you know the drill. My name is Brendan. I've been working in music for quite some time now, and throughout my career, I've always resonated with the underdog artists, the ones who I thought deserved more attention than they were getting, so I created Music You're Missing to give them just that. Every artist that gets interviewed on the show has their music featured on the official Music You're Missing Spotify playlist. While you're checking things out, it would be awesome if you could rate the Music You're Missing podcast 5 stars wherever you're listening to podcasts. I know it's super corny to ask, but the more 5-star ratings we get, the higher likelihood our episodes get playlisted, which in turn means even more exposure for the amazing artists we feature on the show. To keep up to date with Music You're Missing's happenings, including events, concerts, giveaways, and more, you can follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Music You're Missing. Welcome to the Music You're Missing podcast, Boyish. How are we?
We're good.
Yeah, we're doing great.
We're on our last day of tour.
I know.
So
we've been to like 3 coffee shops today already.
Are you triple caffeinated right now?
Triple. Wow. I know it doesn't seem it, but it's all happening.
Is that like necessary for a show? You ever go no caff?
Yeah.
I'm usually no caff.
Oh.
Because it makes me super anxious. But I love like a Coke Zero. That's all I need to get me through. Or if things are really desperate on like a late night drive, we'll do a Mountain Dew.
That's when things get really crazy. Yeah,
I want to go to a Boyish show after you guys have had some Code Red. Well, you are all no stranger to Boston. You are Berklee alum where Boyish was formed. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
I am also a Berklee alum.
No way.
I didn't go there for undergrad. I went there for my master's, so I didn't get like the cool like Berklee experience. but I would kind of just love to know about your experience in Boston. Like, what were some of your favorite spots? Did you do the house show scene?
We were big in the house show scene.
I wouldn't say
our band was not big, but we were big into it.
Attendees.
We were big attendees. Passionate about it and really wanted to be big in the house show scene, but we were not cool.
Yeah, we were not cool. It was really bad.
And so we did play them and that was awesome, but we weren't like, it was like, oh my God, because we were a different band at the time. We were called The Blue. And no one was like, oh my God, The Blue's playing. It was a sick show. I was like, well, that wasn't what was happening.
I heard you were a country band at the time.
Yes.
How country are we talking? Because I couldn't find any old music.
And that's for the best.
Yeah. There's a reason. No, it was, I would say like alternative country.
Okay.
Maybe country rock-ish.
Yeah.
But we were doing it. Yeah, we were doing the country music thing. It was, and by the end of our time at Berklee, we're like, why are we doing this? we don't want to do this anymore.
You're kind of ahead of the curve that's kind of in right now.
I know. That in some ways we're like maybe
the Blue pioneers.
We
could go back.
So I mean, while you're at Berklee, I'm kind of curious, like, do you think that experience was necessary to get to where you are today?
I feel like it definitely was
in some ways.
For me at least, I came from Minnesota and I didn't really have like a launching point, I guess, as to where I wanted to go in music. I didn't know what I wanted to do yet. So going to Berklee was really helpful because I was like, okay, I need to meet the right people. I need to kind of get my head on straight, you know, and figure out what it is I want to do. And I think Berklee was really helpful because I learned production and I went that route and I learned recording music. And I feel like those skills have been really important for us, because have recorded so much of our stuff on our own, and like that's how we kind of got our start.
Yeah, for sure. And I definitely feel like, when I was younger, there was this sense of like failure that I had graduated Berklee College of Music. Yeah. I was very much like, oh my God, like what have I done? That's the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah, we've weirdly talked about that, how you want to drop out of Berklee.
Yeah, like it was a dream. I remember both of us were sitting at graduation, just like, oh my. God, like, what losers?
Yeah.
But I do, we've talked about it where we were like, we were not ready like any earlier to like step into the music world. Like, we had so much learning to do and so much left to figure out about like even what kind of music we wanted to make. So I feel like it was important in the sense that like I met Claire, first of all, and we had that sort of environment where we were like, let's figure out what we want to do. And it took a really long time to do that and then just get like a base level of production skills. And I think I just picked the wrong major, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Why? What was your major?
I did pro music, which is kind of like a choose your own adventure major, which was good for me at the time because I had no idea what I wanted to do within music. I did not really have the same musical background that Claire did. I wanted to go into acting, like I wanted to go into dance. I was really going to do musical theater. And at the last minute kind of decided, I was like, no, I'll just do this. And so I just had no idea what I wanted to do. So I picked composition. So I did like arranging for orchestras and like writing for orchestras, which I loved. And I did vocal performance, which was fine. And I did some music business, which is actually has proven to be helpful.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, I'm sure that's probably helpful.
But it's kind of like you get a little bit of everything versus like I'm picking one thing that I'm going to get really good at. Which, I mean, there's something to be said for both too.
So. Yeah, of course. I mean, all that to say, you're currently on a sold out tour with the Beaches right now.
That's true.
Last night of the tour.
Yeah.
How are we feeling?
Good. Sad.
I know. Yeah. I'm getting sad. I don't want to think about it.
Definitely a little tired. But yeah, really excited to play in Boston.
Yeah, what's tomorrow and like the next week look like when you're just post tour?
Yeah, tomorrow's like a 12-hour drive day, and I think the day after that too. We have to get back to Minneapolis, where our band is based out of, and we like rent our van from or whatever. So it'll be like 24 hours straight of driving. And then once we're in Minneapolis, we have to get back to LA. So it's like the next week will just be basically
driving
tour, but no shows.
Yeah, just the bad parts of touring. Yeah.
And then I feel like once we get back from tour, we both just kind of sit there like, now what do we do?
Yeah, we'll a couple days where I won't move and then I'm going to recover.
Some rot time.
Time to rot and that's it.
So what was energy like going into this tour? Because it was sold out before you even hit the road.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting. I feel like we've never had that experience before where one, we weren't even announced as an opener until like a week before this. And obviously, like, everything was already sold out. So we knew going into the shows that, like, okay, there's no one coming to see us, you know? Like, for certain, I know that.
Yeah, that is actually a really interesting place to find yourself.
Yeah, which is, I feel like, sometimes a fun challenge as an opener. Like, being an opener is a really odd position to be in anyway. It's like, okay, I have 30 minutes to, like, win these people over. And so I feel like we went in with that expectation of like, okay, we're going to have to like not fight for like these people to care, but that kind of is what it is as an opener all the time anyway. So I feel like we just had that in the back of our minds. Like, okay, no one knows we're coming.
Yeah. We're like, surprise.
It's interesting to hear, and we'll talk about it later, but I reached out to some of your fans and they were very much so like showing up for you. So maybe they also love the Beaches and were stoked that you were
there. There was some crossover, where some people were like, oh my God, I had tickets for this and now you're opening. I had no idea.
So that's like an awesome surprise.
Yeah, that was great. I was like, thank you.
So how did the connection with the Beaches even happen?
We have the same agent and
beautiful.
And he was like, this would be the lineup of my dreams. Like, please, can we make it happen? And I was like, yeah, I love the Beaches.
You're like, say no more.
Please. Yeah.
Absolutely. Did you have any like notable cities or venues that you hit this tour, or maybe you crossed off a venue from the bucket list?
I feel like the Fillmore in San Francisco was a big one. So cool. That was a big bucket list one for me and just like a really fun show.
I love Santa Fe. We love New Mexico. It's like, it's probably my favorite state.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a slept on tour spot too.
It's so cool.
It's so cool.
We played at this venue called Meow Wolf, which is like an interactive
art gallery
exhibit sort of thing.
Awesome.
which was so wild. So like after we played and everything, we got to go through it. It's almost like a mystery you have to solve. It's like an escape room, like, but you're not locked in there. It was really cool.
It's basically like a house like that's built inside the exhibit, and you mm-hmm. go in, and there's like all these clues around. You have to like get into a safe and like figure out where the code is. And
yeah, you're like, what happened to the scientist?
And it'd be like, don't forget to look in the fridge, and you open the fridge, and it's like a hallway that goes into another portal kind of thing.
And somewhere in this is the music venue. It's like the stage. And so when we're loading in and we're sound checking, it's open to the public. So there's like kids running around and we're just like, oh my gosh, you know, they're going crazy. It's so fun.
That's kind of cool that it like the crowd experiences that before seeing you, because then it like kind of puts them in that vibe.
No, I know. It's very vibey.
That was cute. They were like clapping at sound check. We're like,
yeah, like, we're like a bunch of little kids like, yeah.
So funny.
That's awesome. Santa Fe. Well, I also saw that you toured internationally. Like that's
yeah,
a sick feat in its own right.
That was the dream.
I guess the one thing I want to bring up, I want to talk about your touring experience, but I did see a funny story that your Airbnb host had to drive you to Loudoun in Scotland.
Oh, it's my favorite.
We toured in Europe last summer, mm-hmm. and for about 2 weeks, I would say it was just me and Claire there, because like our manager was going to come later, and
mm-hmm. we were doing all the shows just the two of us.
And we were in Amsterdam, and all of our flight to get to Scotland got canceled because we had to get from Amsterdam.
We had a train to Scotland. And literally, we woke up the morning of this train, and they're like,
There's a hurricane.
Do not leave your house. Like, danger. And we're like, what the hell? We're like, there's hurricanes up here? Like, yeah, right. So we go out in this thing. We're like, we're just going to go to our train. And it was a hurricane.
It was a true hurricane.
Trees were down, like, in the canals and everything. It was really wild. And then, of course, all the trains are canceled.
So we were meant to have, like, 2 days to get from Amsterdam to Scotland, which is kind of far. And so we ended up having, like, 1 day to do it. So we got up the next day, and we took 3 trains from Amsterdam to Scotland with 9 bags.
It was just so painful.
Just, like, hulking.
I had, like, 2 guitars in one hand and then, like, something else. And India had, I think, like, a pedal board or something really heavy on top of a suitcase you had the rack. It would keep, like, falling over, and, like, we'd trip over it in the station, and there was no cart. There's nothing to help us, you know? Like, and then it was so painful.
We finally got to Scotland, and everyone was so nice to us. Like, no one had been nice to us all day, and then we were getting off at the platform at, like, 10 p.m. after being, like,
we are not okay.
The guy working at the station, like, put all our stuff into this cart and drove us to the sidewalk. And then our Uber driver, like, put all the stuff in the trunk himself and then brought it into our Airbnb.
We're just sitting there like, whoa.
And we had, like, this super sweet younger couple hosting us mm-hmm. at this Airbnb. And they were, like, really excited. They were, like, when we told them what we were doing, they're like, we can take you there in the morning if you want. And we're like,
We definitely won't make you do that.
Like, you don't have to. And they're like, no, we want to. And so the morning we woke up and, like, all our stuff was gone. And I was like, oh, my God, we just got robbed.
They robbed us.
This man was like, no, I just loaded all your stuff into the car already. Like, we're ready whenever. I was like, what the hell? So he drove us, and we get to the, like, gate of the festival. Claire and I also had no idea what a big deal this festival was.
Huge.
Like, we found out we were
huge.
Playing it with, like, 24 hours notice. Massive festival. And so our Airbnb hosts drive us in their car. They, like, let us in, and it's like the 1975 tour bus.
Yeah.
And, like, Nile Horns tour bus.
And we're there. Yeah, they're on their radios. They're like, boys, just here with their Airbnb hosts.
So then our Airbnb hosts, like, drove us into the, like, little village area, and then they left and they messaged us afterwards. They're like, we watched it on the BBC.
It was so funny.
It was so sweet. They were so cute.
So kind.
Yeah. I'm like, they were just the nicest people ever.
Did they hit you with a 5-star rating?
I think so.
We hit that with a 5-star rating.
Like, can we do more than 5?
Your reviews, like, if you're a musician, I recommend
you go. I highly recommend.
They were so kind.
That's so funny. Like, Claire immediately was like, oh, yeah, one of my favorite stories. But when you were beginning to tell me, it was like, this sounds like my personal hell.
No, it was. But it all, like, it's the kind of thing when you're living it, you're like, this is awful. But afterwards, you're like, this was really
funny.
Like,
pretty funny.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
What's it like playing with a crowd? I mean, you said you didn't even know that it was that large of a venue. So yeah. I imagine a lot of the people weren't necessarily familiar with Boyish.
Yeah.
What's it like playing in a completely different country to maybe people who are unfamiliar with you?
God, it's, you kind of just like do it. And then it was also like our first time ever technically on TV too. And it was,
literally
just the two of us. And we were on super early. We're on at like noon.
Other than the best, like, we were like, do you have water? We're just like, we kept asking for water. We're like, do you have any water? They're like, there's so much beer in here. And I'm like, and they're like, just drink the beer. And we're like, it's like 10 a.m. We're like, we're trying to just like have some water, please.
I feel like it's those situations where you can't think too much about what you're doing. You're just like, all right, I'm here. I'm going to do it. It was a
huge stage.
We're like,
the whole story sounds fake.
It felt fake.
I was like, who's pranking us right now?
No, I know. Yeah, they were like, here's your, you know, like, sign this form so the BBC can air it later. I was like, what do you mean?
Like, Tom and the BBC's here?
Hurricanes and the BBC. Yeah. I mean, Boyish has got some funny stories up their sleeve.
Oh, yes.
I also saw that you were randomly interviewed about cherry blossoms on the DC local news.
Yes.
Were you interviewed as Boyish or just, like, bystanders?
No, we were just standing there. We had, like,
we were waiting to load
into
the venue.
2 hours to kill before going to the venue. And we had our car full of stuff. We couldn't leave anywhere. So we're like, we'll just stand and look at
outside,
the water.
Outside of the Jefferson Memorial, of course.
We'll just look out at the water. And this woman, and like a camera, we see her coming down. I was like, she's going to stop.
We're like, here we go. I'm like, and hey, get prepped.
She did. She was like, I'm doing a story about seasonal allergies, global warming, and cherry blossoms. And I was like, great. She's like, have you ever seen the cherry blossoms? I was like, no. And she was like, it's okay. Just, you know.
She's like, wing it.
Act like you've seen them. And yeah, that was it. I just gave like the most deranged interview ever. Like,
so funny.
Trying to figure out like what I was talking about. And she cut it up really weird.
It was
and then
great.
Cut Claire so and our tour manager.
I've never been more thankful to be cut out of anything. I was, because we were watching it right before our set in DC. We had it like on a computer in the green room. And and it shows up and it's India like,
it's a sign.
I was like wearing
bedazzled sunglasses that like, I got at a gas station. I was like, oh my God, I look like someone's
it
crazy
was
aunt.
So
like,
good.
Did they at least like give you your title? Were they like India Boyish?
No. And they actually asked Claire, like, what are you doing in DC? And Claire goes, we're just on a big road trip.
I didn't know how to get into it. You know, I feel like we have this experience a lot where people are like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I don't know how to explain this like, really. So
this is on
like,
a sold out tour.
Yeah, they're like, yeah,
driving
like,
across the country in a van and playing music.
Well, I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, no, we made it here. So
I'm so sad to hear that your part got cut. And don't worry, you'll have a redemption.
Be sad.
There's a redemption arc coming.
I may have been in the seasonal allergies section, but we missed it because we had to play this show.
What was your take? Not real.
No, it was funny because I was like, yeah, I guess I have seasonal allergies. And they're like, has it gotten worse over the years?
I'm
like,
I got the hard hitting.
Maybe.
Questions.
And they're like, do you think it's because of global warming? I was like,
I think it probably is.
I'm like, most definitely.
Sometimes they get sneaky with it. I used to live in East Boston, and there's this park I used to live nearby. And honestly, I just smoked a joint. I was going for a walk.
Oh, no.
This news crew came up to me, and I was immediately brought back to my high school news team. The teacher was like, whatever you do, like, if a journalist comes up to you and wants to talk to you, just, you're better off saying no. You never know how they're going to cut it.
That's so,
I'm like,
so
all right,
fair.
Whatever. They come up to me. They're like, do you have a minute to talk? And I'm like, honestly, no. And they're like, please, like, we've been here for a minute. I'm like,
they're always begging.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm like, all right, like, you're guilting me. I'm baked as hell right now.
Yeah.
And they started asking me about like rent stabilization.
Not now.
Like, it cuts to me
prepared.
And I'm like,
I'm not prepared.
It's a good thing. It's like, oh my God. I'm like, rent stable. Yes. Do it.
Might as well.
My sister, at the very beginning of COVID, we were in New York.
Oh, yes.
Like the first like 2 days of lockdown before anyone really knew what was going on, we were like walking in the park And the news crew stopped us and we're like, how we just want to talk about like your opinion on, you know, this playground staying open for children. And my sister was like, I'll do it.
And then, like, she's like, finally. She finally asked me.
She all of a sudden gets like really serious. Like my dad and I are watching, we're like, what's happening? She's like, we must do whatever possible to stop the spread of COVID-19. And I was like, what are you doing?
Did she lie?
No.
Yeah. She just put facts. I just
she all of a sudden was like,
y'all are funny. I'm hoping that a news crew walks by us.
I know, right? And I'll be like, hey, wait. You guys look like you've seen cherry blossoms.
You guys are experts. So obviously we talked about hitting the road at the beaches tonight, unfortunately last night, but the beaches, not the only talented artists that you've been working with. Ooh. You recently released a track with King Princess.
You did.
Kill Your Pain.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Well,
specifically, I really love the lyric, and I actually would like to know the meaning behind it. I'm going to actually read it, because I will butcher it if I do it for me. I wanted to say to you, don't be such a mess, just kill your pain.
Mm-hmm.
I have an idea of what that means in my brain, but I would actually like to know the real answer.
Well, yeah, I kind of want to hear yours.
Okay, so my idea is, like, I acknowledge that you're kind of going through it, but I also wish you could just stop. I know you can't, but I wish you could.
Yeah. No,
or me, selfishly, kind
of. Yeah, I mean, that's true. I feel like it's sort of based on, like, I guess I'll just overshare. I have this thing sometimes where, like, when people get upset, I get, like, my first initial reaction is, like, anger, and I don't know what that is, but I feel like that's what that lyric is where I'm just like, get it together, I think it's more me, like, feeling bad that I can't like help someone feel better, even though I like it's in there.
He's like, are you seriously?
No, like actually, it's like my ugliest trait.
You need to get it together.
I'm like, get a grip. Like, but you know, obviously that never helps any situation. So I feel like that's what that is. It's just like me expressing, like,
do it,
trying to figure out why when someone's upset, I'm like furious.
I honestly really appreciate the honesty, because I think that's something that does happen to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I have personally done that a time or two in my day,
exactly.
For sure.
And it's, I mean, and then obviously if you're upset and someone's mad at you, you're like, oh, I'm so sad. Like, why are you yelling at me? Like,
actually, it's making it worse. So is that what the whole song stems from?
Yeah, I feel like the whole song is sort of about that sort of dynamic with people. And like, especially, I mean, I feel like there's probably, it's probably a codependent thing that's all wrapped up in, and that's what 100%. The whole
it's like, yeah, I'm taking you down.
Yeah.
We're going to take each other down, I guess. Yeah.
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 I appreciate that. I'm glad that I kind of got it right.
And two,
I again appreciate the honesty. Like, for real, I'm like, that made me feel okay with the fact that I do that a lot.
Imagine we're like, why would you say? Why would you think that?
You're like, actually, that's
but now
really
I'm gonna,
horrible.
I'm going to catch myself next time. I'll be like, oh, no, boyish. I know you toured with King Princess. Is that kind of how you all got onto this song together?
No, so we...
It happened before.
It happened before. We actually met in 2018 when we were...
When we were that country band.
We were the country band Blue, and our manager is good friends with her bassist, and he was going to come to that show. We were playing at this venue in New York called...
What was that?
Coney Island Baby.
Coney Island Baby, yeah. It was this tiny
which I don't know if it's still
room.
There.
Yeah.
Tiny room. No one was really there.
No.
And he was like, is it okay if I bring Michaela?
We're like, yeah, that's,
we were like, yeah, that's fine. Sure, like,
that's okay.
And
like throwing up bags.
We were like, oh, right. Okay, for sure. And we actually ended up just like hanging out after the show, and she was lovely and like
so
gave
helpful.
Us so much advice, and like we kind of just kept in touch over the years. And we finished that song. We're like, it needs like a certain energy that's not there yet, and the only person I can think of who could bring that energy is her. And she was like, yeah, absolutely. And we went to her studio and recorded it, and it was like
crazy.
The most impressive thing I've ever seen. Like, she recorded her verse in like five minutes, and was just
so
like
fast.
Yeah, I know, I got it. Then she played some drums.
Just want some more guitars? We're like,
want some more guitars, want some bass. Like, just was like, yeah. And I've never seen anyone work with such like speed and like self-assuredness. And it was like really, really inspiring and cool to watch her do that. And yeah, it honestly changed the way like we work on music too. Just like an hour watching her do it. I was like, oh yeah, you need to like believe in yourself, you know,
no,
you
honestly need to,
like, be like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. Like I can make decisions about this, you know?
That's awesome that you got to experience that and you learned from it too. Like not only did you get a great song out of it, but you took something like, that I imagine is
huge. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. She's the coolest person ever.
No, literally.
Was that your European tour, right?
Yeah, no? that was Europe.
Yeah.
Was that your first time in Europe?
It was I guess we had been to London a couple months before.
Yeah, it was really, so we opened for our friend Rachel Chinnariri, who's amazing, in May. And on our last day there, we got the offer for the King Princess tour, which would be like a month and a half later. And we're like, I guess we're coming back.
I was like, thank God. Because that was my first time in Europe.
Ever.
Oh, ever. Wow. So, and I was so, so scared of that plane ride. I'm a nervous flyer. And I'm like, if I can make it to Europe, I'm like, my world will open up. And so getting there, I was like,
we also had like a really wild,
we had a horrible flight.
If you have time for another funny story,
travel story.
So my sister was getting married in San Francisco literally the night before. And we were performing at the ceremony. And so we're in San Francisco, and then as soon as the wedding's done,
from the wedding,
we went back to the hotel, like got our stuff, went straight to the airport, we had a flight that went San Francisco to Chicago to Dublin
to Bristol, because that's where the tour started. And there's no direct flight path from San Francisco to Bristol.
Yeah, why would there be?
I know you're checking bags and all of these.
Of course. So, well, it starts off great with India has a bit of an airport rage thing happening. It's funny. India's usually like really calm and collected and like pretty chill. But at the airport, it's like the devil. I'm like, get possessed. I swear to God.
No.
It's so funny. But we
India, we have a lot of similarities. Yeah.
The airport's just like the worst place ever.
100%.
But so we're trying to get what we had done before is we had like gate checked pedal boards and like nice equipment so that we knew it was at least on the plane so we didn't like dump it at the gate or at the check-in counter. And they were like, international flight, can't do it. Like, we're going to have to fully check it and you'll see it in Bristol. And we're like, are you sure? Like, we just want to take it off the plane and, you know, bring it to the next plane and just keep it with us the whole time. And they were very adamant on they would not let us. So we're like, okay, fine. We get on this plane. We're about like an hour or two into this plane and there's a medical emergency.
Emergency landing.
We do an emergency landing in like South Dakota. We're like, are we going to miss this connecting flight? We get to Chicago, finally.
Fine.
We go to Dublin.
Amazing.
And then we're about to get onto this plane to Bristol and it's tiny. Like it's a propeller plane. And the
there's
only
like
people
30
on it,
people.
Yeah, they're all one bachelorette party and they're like going crazy.
40-year-old, 50-year-old Irish women who were going
they were ready
nuts.
To party. And it's like 5 a.m. Dublin time. I don't even know what time it was. There, but I feel like we had been up
over
for 24 hours. Yeah, and so we literally looked at this plane. We're like, our shit's not on it. Like, there's no
chance.
There's no way our stuff is on this plane. And so we take the plane. We get off in Bristol. Of course, nothing.
There.
We have a show that day. We have a show in like 5 hours. And so we're talking to this guy. We're like, do you know where it is? He's like, it's in Chicago. And we're like, what do you mean it's in Chicago?
He's like, it might come later today.
Absolutely, like, no sense of urgency. Like,
it's like, also the Bristol airport is, like, kind of
tiny,
and, like, the only things surrounding it are, like, fields of sheep. And I was like, this cannot be happening.
Like, what do we do?
Like, but our stuff did come.
It did come, like, hours later.
Like, 1 hour before sound check, it all came. And then we went to the show.
And you had to go play a show.
And we were like on stage, like, just like, oh, okay.
You have to just be the most unfazed people.
It's getting better. It's definitely getting better.
Yeah.
It seems like you've been through it.
I was definitely phased then, but I feel like right now nothing could really get me.
It'll work out. Everything will work out. That's really funny. We were talking a little bit about your collaboration with King Princess. From King Princess to propeller planes, the natural transition.
It's all related.
I am curious, though, because I heard a quote from India, I believe, that it was a little difficult for you at first to accept collaboration, which I actually feel like is a very common thing that artists tell me on the show. Mm-hmm. Kind of curious, like, how'd you open up to?
I mean, I think, let me think. So I feel like oftentimes when you're starting out, there's a lot of one, like, insecurity maybe, mm-hmm. about like your sound and all this stuff. And like, you're also still figuring it out. And so I think a lot of it in the beginning for me was like, I don't even fully know what I want to make. Why would I entrust it with someone else? And yeah. I think it took a couple years for me to be like, oh no, I feel really confident in like our vision and like everything that I want out of this. Like, another person, the right person, could only elevate it. Like, other people have good ideas too, you know? And so I feel like taking some of the like ego out of it, being like, it's mine, you know, and being like, no, adding another great artist to something can only make something better. Yeah. So I feel like that was a big mind switch for me. It's like, what if it's better instead of it, you know, getting ruined, you know?
Yeah.
Which I feel like 90% of the time, like, when you add someone who's really good at what they do into something, it always is like better than what you could have just come up with, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seconded.
Yeah, no, literally, I would say the same. I feel like that was the big fear of collaboration, was just we didn't know what we wanted to sound like. And so to relinquish that control just felt like, oh man, everything has changed. You know, like, we don't know what's happening. And
this doesn't sound like us.
Yeah. I think in some ways we're still learning to collaborate with each other, you know, and
that's,
it was like,
so wise.
Like, it took a little while. I feel like when we were first working together, I felt like I had to almost prove myself to be like, oh, I have great ideas. Mm. I can do anything, mm. instead mm-hmm. of realizing like, where do my strengths lie? And really just kill your ego, you know, like, that's just going to ruin every collaboration you have if you feel like you have to prove yourself in there. There's no point.
Yeah.
So I feel like once we finally learned how to work with each other best and like really developed a deep trust of like, oh, I know your ear. I trust your ear. That's when all of a sudden it was like, okay, now we can open this up to other people. And like, you know, as we're solid, you know.
I think that's a great point though. Like, before mm-hmm. you allow other people in, you do at some yeah. point need to like kind of know your vision and be confident
exactly.
in yourself.
Oh, yeah,
cause sure. if you let them in too early, then it actually could change
yeah.
the trajectory
yeah,
of everything.
Yeah, no, for sure. I feel like, yeah, that was definitely like, some of it was definitely fear based, but mm-hmm. some of it was also true maybe.
And Claire, you actually hit on a quote that I already ooh. I had, so I want you to expand on this a little bit more. Nope, where is it? I let go of the need to prove myself to people.
Yeah.
Wow. You have?
I'm on it. Yeah.
But that's like another thing that a lot of artists, I think, struggle with, and that I would just mm-hmm. like to highlight, which, I mean, maybe you're still working towards it, but maybe there was some like groundbreaking moment to you where you were like, I don't need to prove myself to people. I'm at least yeah. confident in this. And what was it? Was it like a tangible goal? Was it a stream?
When did you say that?
I wonder, because I feel like that's always been one of my biggest goals, is just to be able to make something that I believe in so purely, you know, and I think I had... This started happening to me at Berkeley really bad, where I was like, okay, I need to prove myself as a writer and as a producer and as an instrumentalist and like all this stuff.
Everyone's after the same thing too, so it's extra.
Exactly. I always felt like I wanted to be the best at anything I was doing, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I felt I was just like spreading myself thin. I got to this point where I remember being like, okay, I want to record a guitar part through a pedal. And then I was like, I should make the pedal. I should solder the wires. Like, I should do all this stuff. Like, it started going insane. And then I was like, what am I doing? Like, I don't have to build the drum set in order to like be unique.
And you did build a pedal.
I was literally soldering a guitar pedal. I was like, I can't do this.
This is not for me.
Yeah, no, literally. But I think honestly, when that went away for me was after we made our EP, My Friend Mika. Mm-hmm. And I like producing, but I don't love it. I don't feel like a producer, and we were doing everything just the two of us, and I felt really like struggling with a lot of things. And I remember India had this idea that I was like, oh, I'm not so sure about this. Like, I don't know if I fully understand the vision, but I like let it go. And I was like, let's just do it. And that song actually turned out to be Legs. which is my favorite song, one of my favorite songs we've ever made. And then I was like, oh, like, I don't have to invent production. You know? Like, I was like, oh, no, like, I have a collaborator here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that was the big moment. And ever since making that whole EP, I've been really just like, yeah, I feel way more free and like more creative because of it, because I don't feel like I have to be
like chasing the perfection. Yeah. Sometimes
yeah,
it's just like, mm-hmm.
You can really be your own like biggest yeah, disruptor.
Yeah, yeah, no, for literally. Sure. And I feel like it's so hard to make something from the perspective of like, it has to be the best. It mm-hmm. has to be one of a kind. And it has to be, yeah, like, I have to prove myself to everyone who's ever smited me. Like, I'm going to make the best, which sometimes is a great motivator.
Yeah.
But I feel like sometimes, at least for me, like, the best things I've ever made have just been, like, I really feel inspired and creative and, like, want to make something. And that's, like, the best place I can work from usually.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like,
I got out of this fear, out of yeah, this panic.
Out of this fear of, like, being ordinary or, yeah, like, not special.
I feel like stress is the number one creativity killer.
Yeah.
You know, it just, we've never been able to, if either one of us is stressed, it's like, are you stressed? Like, we can't work on music today, you know?
How do you get de-stressed?
Ooh. I feel like it, you started cycling.
I did. I joined a cycling class. I love it. I love to do it. Honestly, exercise has been a big one. And doing something that's just not music
yeah,
helps mm-hmm. so much. And like learning when to step away
yeah,
and when huge. To push through has been really a good lesson to work on. Mm-hmm. Or something I've been working on recently too is like find the creativity in a different outlet. You know, like don't write music. Go, I love taking pictures or like doing photography. Yeah. I'm like, go take some pictures of dogs. Like that's my favorite thing to do. You know, I'm like, do that instead, you know, and then come back and try it again.
But then, like, do you ever find yourself, you're like, all right, I'm going to, you know, take photos of dogs. And then you're like, oh, wait, this would actually look good if I, like, put the boyish logo here
yeah, imagine,
and then I
yeah.
put it on, like, TikTok and Instagram. Because that's how my brain works. Unfortunately, yeah. everything's connected. But.
Yeah, no, I feel like sometimes, like, doing other things can lead to, like, other ideas that are very much can turn into something to do with boyish. I mm-hmm. feel like that happens all the time because that's all either of us can think yeah. about all the time is boyish-related stuff. It's like one mind all the
no,
time.
Literally.
Well, hey, you know who else can't stop thinking about boyish? The boyish super fans.
Oh!
Hey. So I reached out to some of your fans via Instagram DM.
Oh, cute.
The ones that didn't block me have something to say. So I got a few questions for you, and then I will let you guys get to soundtrack. I'm really just, I can talk to you all day. So Claire Bear, she says that I saw them in DC and they were great.
Oh my God.
The first song I heard from them ever was Girls Are Mean, and I would love to know how that song came together and the story behind it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Girls Are Mean started, there's like two stories to it, I guess. It had started as like a notes app on one of our first tours we were on. It was, we were opening for Spill Tab and just writing, you know, constantly throughout, just typing in the notes app. And I feel like once we got back to LA after that, we kind of started piecing it together. And it feels like kind of this stream of consciousness, but at its core is like, I just want to be the best I can be. Like I'm pushing towards this. Like I've been good, but I can get better. You know, like I just want to reach the top. But, it's named Girls Are Mean because our bass player, Megan Mahoney, had this dream that we were about to play a set. Yeah, we were about to play a set and we had added like five new songs to it.
That they had never seen.
They had never heard of
it. The most intense stress dream.
And it was like, it was called, one was Girls Are Mean. There was like
Hot. Glitter. Yeah.
So, and then like, one was like a mashup of all of the songs too.
And they were like, they texted us like, I had a dream, like you handed me the set list and there were five songs called Hot, Girls Are Mean, Glitter, and then there was a mashup that was all of them. Yeah. I'm like, Girls Are Mean is such a
yeah,
good
we're like,
song
that's
name.
Genius.
Like that's so good.
And so we took that from there
no
and
way.
Then made
and then
the
we
song
put it
really
on the set list and they were like, I feel ill. Like,
wait, that is a wonderful so story. Yeah, that actually so is so funny. Cool.
Yeah.
That's like you're making dreams reality.
Yeah, exactly.
But Flirty and Thriving, well, that's awesome, said, I was so sad. This is the redemption I was talking about.
Oh. let's go.
I was so sad to see Claire's part get cut during her news interview about cherry blossoms. Claire, it's time for your redemption. How do you feel about cherry blossoms?
What did I say? Ooh. I think I
what
said...
What did you say?
Oh, what did I say? I think I was like... I've heard so much about it from my college roommate. Like, it's been my dream to come here and say it or to see them. And
you were giving like you were.
I didn't say anything worth putting in there. Like, it was actually very. I've never seen the cherry blossoms. And I literally that same day had looked up when are the cherry blossoms. And it was like 3 weeks from now. So I was like, not even in my head. And then they're like, do you see them? And I was like.
Not really.
Apparently they were starting to bud.
Yeah, they were like, do you see the buds? And Claire was like, I can't really see them.
I was like, it's been
and
so
then they
great.
Got cut.
It's so great to walk around and see them because I've heard so much.
Our tour manager had an even better answer.
He actually
got cut.
Slayed
like,
this interview.
He really slayed. And I was surprised. He was like, what I love to do is like, get a picnic blanket out and like spun a tale about
he created an image.
Yeah, he was like was telling like, us a story. Wow. He was selling us something. Yeah. And he got cut.
He got cut.
And
that was a crime.
I got
that
left
was a
in
crime.
I looked like I was literally someone's drunk on. Like,
it's like it's ending.
I mean the fact that you even had prior knowledge of the cherry blossoms I feel like is impressive.
I didn't. Claire did.
That's
I was like
up.
I actually know what they're talking about.
Like, I've
I was
heard
like,
of
oh.
this.
Yeah, cherry blossoms.
That's a sign that winter is ending.
Okay. Chloe says, hey, you killed it in Denver. One of the best openers I've ever seen. How was your time in Denver and did you have time to enjoy the city?
We had a I loved the Denver show.
The
I think it was one of my favorites
I would agree.
Of the tour. It might have been not the biggest venue we ever played, but maybe close.
Yeah,
it was
huge.
Crazy. And it was just the two of us. And we did not have any time in Denver.
We did go to a park.
We
for
did
a
go
bit.
To a park for 20 minutes.
And it was super, super
it was
windy.
Beautiful.
Oh, but there was, don't you remember? It was so windy, but there was a great group of friends playing frisbee.
Yeah.
It was really cute to watch. And they had one of these like super old cameras set up that they were all posing for.
Yeah,
a photo
it was really cute. I was like, oh, I'm watching someone's memories.
We're like, what's the tea between everyone here though? We're like speculating. We're like, what's the relationship between all these people?
And then we drove directly after the show. And so we didn't really see it, but I would love to go back and spend some time.
Yeah. Boy, I should always traveling. Always getting from point A to point B.
Oh, yeah.
Two more from you. Andrea wants to know, what is your favorite Taylor Swift song?
Ooh. Oh, my God. I love Clean. I love that song.
Oh, I've never heard you say that.
I know. I feel like I listened to it recently.
That's a hot like, take.
Well, it wasn't like, what's the best? It was just like, what's your favorite?
That's fair. That's fair.
My God. Or... This Is Me Trying.
I was going to say
I
that.
I love that song. Anything off Folklore or, yeah.
I also really love Forever and Always. That's been my new
one. Oh, yeah.
Since we all know I have plain anxiety, I'll listen to that song like over and over. Or I'll listen to Fearless and be like,
I am fearless.
Literally, I'm just like,
I am the same that on is, plane. Yes. I take them so often, but I'm so scared of them. Same.
What's your favorite same. Taylor Swift song?
Hey, thank you so much for asking. Yeah. My favorite is Peace off of Folklore.
Ooh.
I feel like it is one of her most underrated songs.
No, it's a beautiful song.
I love the writing of it,
it's
and it
beautiful.
Makes me. I listen to it in the shower. If that gives you any type of...
Yeah, no. That'll set you up
like,
for your day.
I want to do that like when I listen to it. All right. Last one for you is from your super fan, me.
Yay!
How do you think the band would be different today if you ended up calling yourselves Miss Jaguar?
Oh, my God. We'd be hyperpop.
We'd
be 100 gags. 100%. It would be so unhinged.
There's a alternate dimension out there where we're Miss Jaguar and it's 100 gecs.
I don't know if you guys have seen those like rave visuals on TikTok happening, like the Shrek rave and everything. Oh, that's what would be happening.
Yeah, yeah. Shrek raves at this place.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh my, the one well, where, like, Big Shrek eats the little Shrek. That would be our
be
show.
Miss Jaguar X Shrek rave. That would be the
purely
future.
A Shrek cover band.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Would be crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, hey, me and the fans really appreciate that you took some time to answer their questions.
Oh, this
thanks
is
for having us.
Now, before I send you on your way, I do wrap up every interview with this question.
Ooh, ready.
Unrelated to music, unrelated to your career, what are some goals you have for the near future?
I saw that question and I still haven't come up with an answer.
It's a tricky one.
As I was like, oh my God. What else? And I think the only answer that popped into my head was to get a six pack. Just to get absolutely yoked.
Yeah.
Honestly, my goal has been in my cycling class. Guys, I'm so slow. I'm so slow. And I'm it's like a bunch of 6 year olds and they're flying. And I'm like, how on earth do you possibly move your legs like that? Like, I can't do it. So my goal has been to be able to cycle really fast with them.
Or maybe like take a class. You know, like
yours should be to get your permit.
Oh yeah, I can't drive.
Right. Yeah, I'm gonna set a new goal.
So that could be good. Actually.
But you have made it so far without having to drive, though.
I mean, yes. For years, it was just Claire driving on tour. Like before we had a tour,
it broke
manager.
Me. It broke my spirit. And
Claire, this tour, we had like one or two days where like our band wasn't there, and our tour manager like had to be somewhere else for just like.
It was literally 24 hours.
And we're driving and Claire goes, India, you have to get your license.
Because at that point, I get sick every tour. I get like a cold every tour. This is when my cold hits. And of course, I'm there like, and I was like, hey, you know, it'd be great. It'd be great.
Yeah.
You were driving.
Have to get. I was like, okay, I will. So that's a good goal. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Muscles and cars.
Six packs and cars. Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't get more boyish
than
that.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly.